Season 4, episode 25. And as you will also hear in the podcast, just keep in mind, the next midweek bonus episode will be the week after Thanksgiving. So there's going to be about a 7-day lapse in episodes because I have basically taken a break from stupidity because I'm spending the week visiting family. Yeah, I have Thanksgiving to go to. We have a big family reunion. It's going to be kind of interesting because this is a family reunion that was started back in 1960. And I think the first one I went to, couldn't even remember. I've never missed a single one. We've had it every single year up until about 2012 when we decided it was just getting to the point that was so many people going to so many other family reunions that the attendance was going down. So we decided to move it to doing it every other year so we could spend time with the other parts of our family on the off years. And of course, that worked great until a pandemic. So the pandemic happened during one of the years we were going to have the reunion. So that means now it's been 4 years since we have had the last reunion. And it just dawned on me that you realize this is the longest we have gone between seeing our family since 1960. And, you know, it's going to be a big shock because we're going to find out that over the last 4 years, we've got uglier, if not stupider.
All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid. St. Eric Lane, and welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get 5-star stupidity for you. So give it a 5-star rating, and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. Well, this is going to be probably the last midweek bonus episode for a week because, we've got, for one thing, Thanksgiving coming up, right? So with Thanksgiving coming up for next week, I'm just going to take the entire week off. I'm taking a week off from stupidity. So if you're, of course, listening to the podcast later and realize there's like a skip in the dates, that's why. So, yeah. Actually, I'm going to go back to see some family in Arkansas. So I've got some family homegrown stupidity, I guess, right? But I promise I won't break into anybody's houses. No, I will, at least at this point, have been invited. But, you know, there's some burglars that break into homes, you know, around the holidays. They look for Christmas gifts or things to steal, like pricey jewelry or expensive electronics, maybe trying to crack a safe. Others have got more modest aspirations. Take, for instance, a 23-year-old man in California. He was arrested after police say he broke into an elderly woman's home, rummaged around before picking out a small portable vacuum cleaner and running off with it. Police later found parts of the vacuum scattered outside. Now, not really clear why the thief dismembered the vacuum that he had just stolen, but it is possible he was looking for something. A single attachment. Because a couple of hours later, the cops tracked the guy down, and he still had one of those attachments on him. Now, it's unclear which one it was. Although my mind is racing right now on what it could have been, well, he was hit with a felony charge of residential burglary, all over a vacuum cleaner attachment. My question was, what is he going to attach that to? Are you following what I'm... Are you picking up what I'm dropping? Okay, all right, well, anyway. Well, there was recently an invader that broke into a home in Wisconsin and completely trashed the joint. But it wasn't a burglar. It was Bambi. It was a deer, right. The homeowners say the deer burst through their front door, entered their living room, it ran in a circle, stormed up the steps to the second floor. The deer was scared, and it ran from room to room upstairs, looking out all the windows. You can imagine the destruction. Well, sadly, the animal was also bleeding from its mouth and legs. So there was blood everywhere, all over the house. They could hear glass breaking and things getting smashed. It even poked holes in the ceiling with its antlers. I'm telling you. Well, some 3 hours later, wildlife experts finally showed up and got the deer to calm down and directed it back out of the down the steps and out the door. It's really unclear why the deer ran into the house. However, officials have a suspicion. They believe that it actually might have seen the holiday decorations outside, in particular the reindeer, and had been sexually excited. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the homeowner, Sue Sajecki, talking about the deer getting stuck in her house and how she thinks her reindeer decorations might have attracted the animal to their home.
Nobody can believe that a full-grown deer is trapped upstairs in your house and can't find its way out.
He was just trying to find a way out. This is Dasher and Prancer. Prancer had an unwelcome suitor.
Now, there's the full interview, which we'll have to put up on our Telegram channel, but there's also a look at the actual reindeer decorations. Frankly, you know, since I'm not a reindeer, I don't think they're that sexy. But nobody's asking, though, why they had their Christmas decorations up in the first week of November. But I am. This should be a lesson to those of you that want to put up Christmas decorations. Don't put reindeer decorations up until after deer hunting season starts. Okay? Just saying. Well, even rats can keep a beat. Did you know that? Scientists have discovered that rats are able to perceive the beat of music and bop their heads along to the rhythm, an attribute previously thought to exist only in Homo sapiens. Researchers at the University of Tokyo, they played music for 10 rats, fitted the wireless accelerometers to measure their head movements, according to the study published in the journal Sciences Advances. The music included a nice Spotify playlist, Lady Gaga's Born This Way, Queen's Another One Bites the Dust, Mozart's Sonata for Two Pianos in D Major, Beat It by Michael Jackson, and Sugar by Maroon 5. Now, minute-long sections of the songs are played at four different speeds for the 10 rats, and the 20 human participants. But this is interesting. You know, just like humans, rats hate elevator music.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds to me like the researchers at the University of Tokyo have a lot of free time on their hands. Well, so does this one guy in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, you know, became the first city to lose two major sports championships on the same day. Yeah, we had the World Series and the MLS Cup. Yep, soccer actually counts as a major sport, by the way. But there is this to brag about. A 31-year-old waiter in Philly named Alexander Tominski challenged himself to eat 40, that's 40, rotisserie chickens in 40 days. And he recently completed the task in front of a huge crowd of people.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, he announced his plans by tweeting out a photo of himself with a whole chicken in front of him. At that point, he was already 11 chickens in and planned to do 30 days, but eventually wrapped it up in 40. Well, since then, he's taken down one full chicken a day without a ton of fanfare, but slowly kept gaining followers. And last I checked, he was up to 37,000. Then he posted a flyer inviting people to come and watch him eat his 40th bird. He didn't even give an address. It just said he'd be at quote, that abandoned pier near Walmart. But dozens, if not hundreds, of people showed up for it. Oh, and to add to some drama, he held up a speaker and played Bruce Springsteen's Streets of Philadelphia for his last few bites. Then he slowly walked through the crowd, held up his empty plate, and everyone went nuts, like they typically do in Philadelphia. So he went full absurdity with it. The question is, why did he do it in the first place? Well, there's a perfectly acceptable answer to that question. Just because. He did some interviews, including one with the New York Times. Basically, he says he wanted to make people laugh while everything else in the world seemed so stupid. Gotta give him an attaboy for that. So it's almost like performance art, maybe? Well, here's the coverage of this insane eating event and Tominski's official 40th chicken by the Philly sports blog Crossing Broad.
Going to an abandoned pier behind a Walmart to watch a guy eat his 40th consecutive rotisserie chicken in 40 days. Sometimes you just got to see a win.
3, 2, 1!
You're an inspiration! You have the whole city behind you!
One more fight! One more fight!
Now, one person who went to watch summed it up like this. There's no broader meaning here. It's just a guy eating chicken. Alexander says he hasn't made any money off the stunt and didn't gain anything from it except followers on social media. Somebody at the Purdue Chicken Company even reached out at one point and offered him free chicken, but he said no. He does admit, though, he is relieved to be done and having it all over with, and he wouldn't suggest it to anybody else. I mean, at first he could take down a whole chicken in 20 minutes, but it got harder and harder and harder. So by the end, it was taking him up to 2 hours to polish off a rotisserie chicken. He also said it ravaged his body. He actually lost 16 pounds. Well, so let's see. The man ate 40 rotisserie chickens. Who said America isn't great anymore, huh? I know chicken, it's pretty healthy, but that kind of goes out the window when you eat 40 of them. Well, let's just say I'm pretty sure he's done with chicken for a while. Some folks are pretty much done with a job with having to put up with passive-aggressive coworkers. You work with anybody who's constantly passive-aggressive about stuff? You know, instead of confronting people or being up front, they get sneaky or mean? Yep, I can think of one guy right now who no longer works at my job, and I'm glad of that. Just because of the passive aggressiveness. Otherwise, he was a pretty nice guy. But there's a new poll that's out. Most of us do have coworkers that are just like that. 69% say it's become a problem at the workplace, and almost half say it's gotten worse in the last few years. Here are some of the most common passive aggressive things that people do at work, like gossiping or talking behind somebody's back. 54% of people said it's something they see a lot. You know, stuff that they used to do in fifth grade playground. Another one is complaints and resentment. Like if your coworkers was a jerk last week, so you complain to your boss about something unrelated, like their messy desk. Or giving people the silent treatment, you know, disengaging instead of confronting them about stuff. Being sarcastic, you know, in a mean way, you know, like, oh yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. Or just being dishonest, you know, just flat out lying about people that you don't like. Yeah, look, whatever side you're on, I think you might recognize some from my list of the top passive-aggressive comments that I hear at work. Hey, nice of you to finally make it in. Or how about, ooh, is today laundry day? I can't believe that plant on your desk is still alive. Or how about this one? How do you get any work done with that messy desk? I can cover your shift, don't worry, if you want to sneak home and shower. Or I like this, everything okay at home? I've heard that before. Or how about this one? Oh, just a friendly reminder, whoever empties the water cooler replaces the jug. Yeah. Or, man, I wish I could phone it in like you. Or, I like this one, your HR file must be so wild. And, of course, my last but not least favorite, wow, your definition of business casual is so different than mine. So, does your family like or own the company or something? Yeah, that's one. That's a good one, too. Yeah. Well, here's a guy that I'm pretty sure was not passive-aggressive, just drunk. And I love this story. Springdale, Arkansas-based Tyson Foods chief financial officer got himself arrested after being found asleep in somebody else's home. According to the arrest report, 32-year-old John Tyson was found asleep in the home of a young woman who did not know him. And the report stated that she called police after returning home to find Tyson, uninvited, asleep in her bed. That's about as passive-aggressive as you can get, don't you think? The woman told investigators that she believed the front door was left unlocked, and that's how he got in. So I think part of it is on you, don't you think? Well, those in the home say that they did not know who Tyson was, and according to the report, officers found Tyson asleep in the bedroom, and his clothes were on the floor. The officers found his ID and tried to wake him up. Tyson allegedly would sit up but not verbally respond to the officers. The report says that after he briefly sat up, he laid back down and tried to go back to sleep. Now, officers say they could smell alcohol on Tyson, and his movements were sluggish and uncoordinated. Yeah, that might be a contributing factor. Tyson was arrested for criminal trespass and public intoxication and taken to the Washington County Detention Center. He was released on $415 bond. He's scheduled to appear in court and faces a $1,000 fine or a year in jail. Tyson Foods did release a statement to KFSM TV5 News in Fort Smith. He said, "We're aware of the incident, and as this is a personal matter, we have no additional comment." Yeah. But I did find John's dad talking about the company's values on YouTube for a little fun with real audio.
When I think about some of the cornerstones of Tyson Foods is our core values. Dad. We strive to be the best person in our community.
Sorry.
It gives our folks permission to stay within those boundaries and yet still have judgment.
Values,
and
values.
The core values are really a set of values that then give you flexibility to be yourself, to make your own set of decisions to help this great
so
company.
I picked the wrong house.
You strive every day to try to do the right
all
thing.
Them houses look alike.
It goes back to my granddad.
I was just sleeping.
And it's reflected today in today's company and leadership.
I thought it was my house.
Yep. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I hope the homeowner gets some free chicken out of this. I think the lesson, though, is clear here, okay? If you live near the CFO of Tyson Foods, keep your freaking door locked, okay? Because the CFO is wandering around out there like a wild chicken. Wonder if Tyson Foods does rotisserie chicken. I don't know. Anyway, well, who could ever, ever have predicted this idea could backfire? About a year prior, a place called Karen's Diner opened in Australia as a riff of the old Angry Karen thing. Remember that during the pandemic? Yeah. Well, now there are 16 locations, including one in St. Louis, Missouri. The motto, great burgers and very rude service. Now, I don't know. Does that sound enticing to go visit? Basically, they're overly rude to customers. And you can complain all you want. They don't care. But now they're back in the news because employees at a location in Melbourne, Australia are so unhappy, they asked to speak with management about it. Half dozen current and former employees filed a complaint claiming it is an unsafe work environment. They say customers constantly threaten and harass the servers, even getting violent. But when they told management about it, nobody did anything. Ironically, they say getting bad reviews is a constant concern. management won't tolerate them and just wants to protect the brand. They also claim they had a sign, they had to sign a waiver saying the diner was not responsible if they were injured in some way. The company's denying all of it and claims they've only dealt with some truly awful customers a handful of times. Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, look, this is kind of what you wanted, isn't it? I don't know about you, but did you want all those ads for the political season? And the thing about it is, the day after election begins the 2024 election season. Yeah, and by the way, all the campaign money that was spent on the attack ads, all the salaries, all the get-out-the-vote initiatives, it topped $16 billion, with a B, on Election Day, far exceeding the spending records for federal and state elections in a non-presidential year, according to the New York Times. They cited figures gathered by the nonpartisan group Open Secrets. The previous spending recording for midterms set back in 2018 was $14 billion. Georgia was the highest-priced race, just two candidates, incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock and Trump-backed Herschel Walker, spending $250 million just on ads alone, according to Ad Impact. Now, since May, the heated Pennsylvania race between the famed TV star Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, and the Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman has seen upwards of $221 million spent largely on commercials. Frankly, I think I can speak for millions of American voters whenever I say, and was it totally worth it? Wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. That's something you never hear about about politicians doing, you know, like wasting money. Have you ever heard somebody say that they literally had a beef with somebody? Well, the grammar police might have a problem with you, but this lady, though, has come along to change that altogether. It's a 27-year-old woman in Ohio named Maneka Garner. She pled no contest to disorderly conduct after getting into an altercation with her 37-year-old neighbor. Happened last year, and they didn't just argue. See, Maneka was at Walmart. She saw her neighbor, Precious Jackson. Well, the two have a history. So Maneka flew into a rage, attacked Precious with the first thing she could get her hands on, a 10-pound log of ground beef. The fight went down in the potato chip aisle. Maneka initially tried to spit on Precious, but when that missed, she reached into Precious's cart and grabbed the $22 log of beef and started clobbering Precious with it. Precious survived the beefing. Sorry. Maneka was arrested at the scene, and she was hit with a 30-day suspended jail sentence plus probation and $155 in fines. This is a wild way to get attacked, frankly, you know? It's also not the first thing you think of when you hear about meat beating. What a strange occurrence. I mean, usually you only see a 10-pound log the morning after Thanksgiving dinner. And as tasty as that might sound, getting beat up with hamburger meat, or as tasty as this might look, this is something you probably should refrain from doing. Licking the Sonoran Desert Toad. This is a warning, and it's a real warning, issued by the United States National Park Service. The NPS used Facebook to warn passerbys to use caution around the Sonoran Desert Toad, also known as the Colorado River Toad. The amphibian is one of the largest toads found in North America. It measures up to 7 inches, according to the Facebook post. Now, the toad's call is a distinctive low-pitched toot, says the NPS. But the toads, found around the American Southwest, also boast another unique feature. They have prominent parotid glands that secrete a potent toxin, according to the NPS. The parotid glands are located just behind the toad's eyes. Now, these toxins can make humans sick if they touch the toad or put one in their mouth. Why somebody would be putting a toad in their mouth is beyond me, but the service does recommend people that encounter the toads, please refrain from licking, unquote. It seems that some people, including celebrities, smoke the toad's psychoactive poison. Now, reports say the substance in the toad's toxins, when crystallized, is a Schedule I drug, and it can get you high, and it's dangerous. But people have been warned before. Yes, they have. This is not the first time the National Park Service has warned people about licking toads. Yep, here we go again, licking toads again.
Licking toads again, like Chelsea Handler and Joe Rogan. The Park Service warned them, but they'll probably do it again. Talk about it on Fox and CNN. Licking toads again, like some 60s hippies, they just had to try some. They've got lots of friends that do them too, like Rogers and Mike Tyson. It's kind of frightening to be licking toads again. Getting stoned with some amphibians. If this is the future, then I'm happy to admit you won't find me licking a toad on a stick.
And, of course, we've got who else to better help spread this warning about licking toads than Smokey Bear.
I'm Smokey Bear. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. Oh, and one other thing. Don't lick toads. I can't believe I actually have to tell people this, but apparently it's a thing. We got these idiots out here trying to get off licking the backside of the Sonoran Desert toad because it secretes a hallucinogenic toxin. Toxin means poison, you dumbasses. Why ruin a good trip to a national park with a bad trip where you start seeing crazy stuff like talking bears dressed in pants and a hat carrying a shovel? So, for the last time, do not lick toads. I mean, come on. If you want to catch a buzz in a national park, just have a beer like normal people.
And definitely, whatever you do, don't kiss the toad. Or a prince like Andrew might pop up and make us all sick. Licking toads. Just doing that to get high? It does sound nuts, I know, but I guess some people might say it's truly a riveting experience. You know, everybody has a little stupidity in their world, and frankly, I would like to hear about it, okay? If you've maybe got a great stupid story from your stupid world, maybe you just want to respond to one of mine. I'd like to hear about it. Let me hear from you. You can contact me easily just by email at shoutout@insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, or if you got a question or a comment about something that you've heard on the podcast or something that Pancho Guerrero has said on the podcast, or maybe you just want to tell me of some firsthand experience of some stupidity you've encountered, well, let me know. I want to hear from you. I might even use your comments on an upcoming episode. So record a message for me at podcast.insaneericlane.com and give me your feedback, okay? And by the way, if you haven't done so already, and I just can't imagine why you haven't already, follow me on social media. You can look me up on Facebook or Twitter by searching out the handle Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's The Week in Review.
A source told CNN's Jim Acosta that former President Trump was, quote, livid and, quote, screaming at everyone after Republicans had a poorer-than-expected showing in the midterm elections. Trump acted so poorly after an election loss that people began confusing him for Hillary.
They were all bad candidates, the source said, of Trump's picks for the midterms. Yeah, Trump needed to back better candidates, you know, like people like John Fetterman. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez apologized to her followers on Instagram for not listing her pronouns in her biography on the platform. She quickly logged into the social media app and added, "Me, myself, and I." She posted a brief video saying that she had once had her pronouns available, but said they somehow fell off. Her pronouns disappeared, which is what most you New Yorkers wish that she would do. According to a new poll, 7 in 10 Americans are facing unprecedented levels of passive-aggressive behavior in the workplace. So when you pitch your ideas at work, don't be surprised if somebody says, "Sure, we can do that. Probably better than my idea anyway." And moreover, nearly half of the respondents believe the behaviors have increased since the pre-COVID era. Kind of shocking, I know. I mean, who knew? One of the long-term side effects of coronavirus was being a butthole. Now, a man from Mexico now has been arrested and charged after Ohio State Highway Patrol troopers say they found over 200 pounds of cocaine in his vehicle. Cops were stunned to discover the coke because Ohio is really more known for meth. The 220 pounds of cocaine is worth an estimated $9 million. Usually, people only spend this much on white powder whenever they hit the ski slopes in Aspen. And Aaron Rodgers brushed off criticism from armchair quarterback TV analysts and said he doesn't give a shite about what they say. Of course, this is incredible because Packers fans didn't think he could care less about anything than his performance on the field. In the Packers' last game, Rodgers threw just one touchdown to go along with three interceptions in the team's fifth straight loss. This was especially embarrassing because they got creamed by the one type of lion that never does damage to anybody. Former President Donald Trump has reportedly shifted blame to his advisors and wife Melania for his endorsement of defeated Senate candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz. Trump better be careful, or he'll turn into that old man who blames the dog for every fart. Trump apparently is looking to shift blame from himself for the loss, claiming that it was his wife, the one, who got him to endorse the celebrity doctor. He could hardly sleep after the loss. Now, he'll hardly sleep because he'll be on the couch. Hours after Twitter CEO Elon Musk admittedly predicted he will do, quote, lots of dumb things, as he learns to helm the new social media platform, he told employees to brace for, quote, difficult times ahead. Some people are worried that, much like his self-driving Teslas, Elon is going to crash and burn. Musk also sent out an email to employees allegedly saying he will discontinue remote work and will be requiring them to be in the office for at least 40 hours a week. No word on the dress code yet, but I would think I have a feeling it's probably going to be a lot more popular than pajamas and underwear. According to a new report, scores of turtle species are in demand as pets, which has led to a spike in poaching. It's crazy that they're so in demand as pets because, you know, usually people hate dealing with a turtle head poking out. The illegal trade of turtles in the U.S. is aimed mostly at markets in Asia and Europe where reptiles, some with brightly colored shells, are coveted in the pet trade, though in some of these countries, I'd be worried about a turtle companion being turned into turtle soup. University of Sydney student is scouring Australia's Lord Howe Island and discovered a wood-eating cockroach, an animal that hasn't been seen since the 1930s. Cool discovery and all, but where's a can of Raid when you need it? According to a release from the University of Sydney, the insect was thought to be extinct more than 80 years, or living in New York City with the other roaches. And of course, the much-anticipated Black Panther sequel, Wakanda Fever, is out, which is great, you know, because it's been at least, what, a few weeks since the Marvel movie hit the theaters? Some say comic book movies are for nerds, but even football fans will see this, mainly because it has to be better than watching the Carolina Panthers. Saturday Night Live staff writers boycotted a show over the decision to have Dave Chappelle host it, which is actually great because this is easily the funniest thing they've done in a while. Having Chappelle on the show was completely unacceptable. I mean, and it should have been, I guess, mainly because they don't allow anyone who can get laughs. In a recent advertisement for TB12 Sports on social media, Tom Brady revealed he nearly retired from football at the age of 27. But then Tom realized he'd have to spend time with family members and quickly forgot about the idea. Brady said, "When I was 27, I almost retired from the game of football because of elbow pain." Well, luckily he never suffered from long-term damage to his arm, which he eventually needed to sign off on all those divorce documents. Politico White House editor and MSNBC contributor Sam Stein was slammed on Twitter after he appeared to warn Elon Musk against criticizing powerful Democratic politicians. If anything, I think Elon should be thanking this guy, you know, because if he keeps criticizing Democrats, he might end up, quote, committing suicide via gunshot wound to the back of the head, if you know what I mean. Stein actually tweeted, quote, "Always risky to attack members of Congress, especially risky with Dems assured of Senate power. Curious play by Musk here. He has many interests before Congress." Well, most people are willing to give his tweet a pass, though, because, you know, you can't expect an MSNBC contributor to understand defying his masters. And according to a new survey, 2 in 3 Americans admit they feel too much pressure during their vacation to actually enjoy it. Well, hopefully that won't be me when I go on my vacation next week, but I guess when you're traveling these days, nothing feels more pressure than your bank account and credit cards. In fact, respondents actually cite not having enough money during their trip as the top reason they feel vacation stress. Yeah, it's definitely tough, you know, to swim in the Caribbean Ocean when you don't have the clams. There's a new survey out showing more than half of freelance workers are expected to remain part of the big economy, opting out of corporate jobs until they retire. It's truly amazing with the lengths that people go to keep working remotely in their underwear, that is. United Airlines flight attendant was sent to the hospital following an altercation with an angry, shouting passenger on a flight to Chicago. This was a bit surprising. Usually the assault doesn't occur until you get to Chicago. But a woman holding a small child was shown screaming and being told to step back by an attendant aboard this flight originating at San Francisco International Airport. Of course, people in San Francisco are used to dealing with crap, but usually it was just on the sidewalks. And facial hair enthusiasts claim to have set a new world record for the longest beard chain during an event in Wyoming. Yeah, it was an incredibly exciting moment for the 18 people that live there. Participants gathered at Gaslight Social. It's a bar in Casper, Wyoming, where they stood side by side and clipped their beards together to create this long, hairy chain that measured 150 feet long. I think the last time people saw something this hairy and long, Tommy Lee was flashing his junk on Instagram again. Paramount Plus has released the first teaser trailer for their upcoming Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren-led show, 1923. It's a prequel series to Yellowstone. Wow, it's pretty cool. You know, the show name is almost as old as the two stars. Actually, Harrison Ford is 80 and Helen Mirren is 77. So there will be some physical activity, but I think it's mainly going to be one applying Bengay and icy hot patches to the other. And finally, NFL Hall of Famer and former Pittsburgh Steelers coach Bill Cowher called the Indianapolis Colts Jeff Saturday hiring a disgrace to the coaching position. Kind of makes sense that Cowher doesn't think Saturday belongs out there on Sunday. Jeez, these are pretty harsh words for a coach, you know? I mean, usually it's just the player conduct off the field that brings disgrace to the league. Hey! You can really get up close and personal by interacting with the podcast and get the real-time updates and a little of the articles from the stupid stories that you hear when you join
Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World Telegram channel. I'll be posting links to the stories that I read here on the episodes. You're able to read the actual articles, see the pictures, look at the videos, make comments about what you have actually seen or read or even heard about, and even share some of your own stupid stories with everybody in the community. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. You get a preview of the channel, and there's also an opportunity to just download the Telegram Messenger right there from the preview channel right to your device, desktop or mobile, for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And also, you can interact with me as well on social media. Follow me at Insane Eriklane on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the website at InsaneEricLane.com.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing.
And now this week's Genius Award.
And we start off this week's Genius Awards with a Largo, Florida woman who was arrested after allegedly hitting a man with a plank. An arrest document from the Largo Police Department said the incident happened when 31-year-old Dernillan Daniela Vergara of Largo was upset because she was not getting enough attention from her friends. So in retaliation, Vergara allegedly swung a 2x4 with an exposed nail at an unidentified man's head. Police say the man suffered an abrasion from the plank to the head. Now, according to the affidavit, the attack was witnessed by another police officer. After being read her rights, Vergara admitted to swinging the 2x4 but denied hitting the man. She was booked into the Pinellas County Jail on account of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Records show she had multiple battery convictions from previous arrests and was on probation for battery at the time of the incident. I mean, I'm sure this man was not expecting a plank to the head. This isn't what you hope for whenever you get wood. Jeez. Woman's really starved for attention, frankly, you know. I mean, I'm surprised she wasn't posting pictures on Instagram and checking for likes every 2 seconds. And then there's this, a 38-year-old Texas man who police said stuffed a bottle of eggnog in his pants and hairbrushes in his pocket and then fought with a store employee has been charged with robbery. He's Kevin Ellis. He's also charged with failure to identify when police said he pleaded the Fifth Amendment when they asked him his name. The incident occurred in Wichita Falls about 9 p.m. at night. A loss prevention officer at the United Supermarket said he saw Ellis put 2 hairbrushes in his pants pocket and a bottle of eggnog in his waistband. And then when he confronted him past the point of sale, Ellis pushed and punched the officer and dropped all the items. The officer had blood on his left elbow and left eye. After Ellis pleaded the Fifth Amendment, the officers identified him through his previous arrests. Yeah. I bet talking to a woman would have been interesting, you know? It's kind of hard to picture somebody saying, "Hey, sugar, is that a bottle of eggnog in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?" I love the fact that he pleaded the Fifth, but officers identified him through his previous arrests. It's really too bad. He's not a better criminal. He'd have a great future in politics. Or how about this? A Columbus woman is facing charges after police said she bit and punched an officer. About 6:45 in the afternoon, police responded to a complaint of a woman who was banging her head on a vehicle and threatening to fight neighbors who were attempting to help her. When officers arrived, 22-year-old Maya Master was sitting in the driver's side of a Jeep Grand Cherokee parked in the River Bend area. Now, according to the affidavit filed in Franklin County, Ohio's municipal court, Master was upset about a custody case and told officers she'd been drinking. So she started to walk away, but officers reached out to grab her. Master pulled away and began swinging her arms, hitting one officer twice in the head. Another officer hip-tossed Master to the ground and placed handcuffs on her as she continued to kick at the officer and tried to bite him. Police tried to use a hobble strap and a spit hood in an attempt to control Master. But when Master's head was lifted to place the hood, she bit the same officer that she had punched before in the knee. Master was taken to Doctor's Hospital and originally charged with assault of a peace officer. She was arraigned on charges of felony assault and is next due to appear in court. The court filings did not indicate whether any of the officers were treated for their injuries. But, I mean, biting was not a smart move, okay? I mean, it's not like she was romantically linked to one of those officers or something, you know. But she was upset about a custody case, so she banged her head against a vehicle and drank alcohol. Something tells me that the judge made the right call. And what about this? A Florida man is facing federal charges after authorities say he sold a pipe bomb he built at his house to an undercover detective for $800. James John Hall, a 34-year-old from Zephyrhills, Florida, was arrested after a Tampa police detective working with the FBI task force said that Hall told a confidential informant he was in possession of a homemade pipe bomb at his house and they could purchase it for $800, according to WTVT television. The confidential source said they became acquainted with Hall when he sold them marijuana, and Hall showed the source of a photo of a bomb that consisted of 3 to 4 plastic jars taped together and painted with camouflage. Hall was communicating with an informant for the Pasco County Sheriff's Office, who reached out to the Sheriff's Office, prompting a further coordinated investigation with the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, where an undercover Pasco Sheriff's detective met with Hall to purchase the pipe bomb along with a Glock 17 pistol Hall had offered for sale. When asked about future purchases, Hall indicated he had had enough to build 6 more. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Middle District of Florida in a press release, Hall had indicated that the device he was selling to the undercover detective had a magnet on the bottom because it was meant for somebody else. The release also states the bomb was disassembled by ATF technicians. The criminal complaint states that Hall now is facing 1 count of unlicensed distribution of explosive materials, 1 count of possession of an unregistered destructive device, and 1 count of unlawful making of a destructive device. And now Hall faces up to 10 years in federal prison on each count if convicted. I don't know. Is there a new Craigslist section for homemade explosives that I've not been made aware of or something? I don't know. I mean, the dang thing was really just a mag light with both ends taped shut and filled with a pile of airsoft BBs. And you got to check this one out. A 35-year-old South Carolina woman is facing attempted murder charges after she allegedly tried to mow down a man with a minivan following an argument at the Waffle House. Shatarika Michelle Unique Gray got into a heated confrontation with a security guard at the chain breakfast restaurant in Sumter, South Carolina, and tried to run him down before fleeing about 3 o'clock in the morning. Gray hopped into the minivan and allegedly slammed on the gas while driving in the direction of the male guard, only to miss and crash into another car with the passengers inside. She then struck multiple other cars and then drove off, abandoning the minivan in the woods. One person that was injured during the melee and taken to the hospital where they were treated and released, and that's unclear who that victim was. But in a twist of fate, officers who were at the hospital checking on the victim spotted a woman who matched the description of the suspect walking into the same hospital. Gray went to the hospital for a minor injury, was treated, and then subsequently cuffed there and taken into police custody. She was charged with attempted murder, assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature, driving under suspicion, and leaving the scene of an accident with injuries. I mean, the security guard could have suffered from serious bodily harm. And, you know, other than eating Waffle House breakfast, he could have been injured by the car, too. I mean, honestly, this really isn't surprising. I mean, in fact, it's really more shocking whenever you go to a Waffle House and nobody gets assaulted. Okay, and you'll never believe this. A Tennessee man was nabbed at a Georgia jewelry store after attempting to sell a stolen ring worth over $95,000. The Acworth Police Department said 41-year-old Brandon McNeese of Whitwell, Tennessee, was arrested on the following charges: theft by bringing stolen property into the state, receiving stolen property greater than $1,500, possession of cocaine, and possession of meth. Now, McNeese reportedly walked into the Celestial Jewelers with the intent of selling a 9.46-carat diamond ring. Now, while reviewing the certificate of authenticity, store employees saw inconsistencies with the name and address and immediately began doing their detective work, according to police. There's a 90-year-old lady that is super happy she's getting her ring back. So glad we could help recover such an important heirloom, according to a post on social media. According to Acworth Police, the motorcycle that McNeese rode to the store was also stolen. The location that it was stolen from was not disclosed, and McNeese was booked into the Cobb County Adult Detention Center on $110,220 bond. So the guy steals a 90-year-old lady's ring. Forget the ring finger. Everybody has given this guy the middle finger. He also rode to the jewelry store on a stolen motorcycle. You know, if this guy stole any more, he would have just been elected to Congress. I got one more here. It was a hairy situation when two women were arrested in Colombia for attempting to smuggle cocaine in their hair extensions, according to the Colombian Ministry of Defense. The ladies who used the extensions to create elaborate, poofy hairstyles were busted at two separate airports in the South American country. They were headed to Madrid, Spain. Now, they were stopped after going through security when a body scan showed foreign objects that were stashed in their hair. Colonel Carlos Alberto Potes said that the drugs were hidden in small round black tubes and strapped to the suspect's scalps underneath the extensions. Authorities in Colombia proudly displayed the contraband that they recovered alongside the hair extensions and the suspects in a series of images. In all, about 2 kilos of the powdery white drug were recovered. Yeah, the authorities definitely weren't expecting this. I mean, usually the white stuff in your hair is just dandruff. Yeah. The hair extensions definitely were a bad idea, you know. Now they're looking at extensive prison time, yes. Well, if you like the podcast, don't forget to rate and review it. Give it a 5-star rating. This is 5-star stupidity, people. And please, I hope you write a really stupid review of the podcast so I'll have something to read on my upcoming episodes. Don't forget, when you rate and review the podcast, it'll help for it to show up prominently in searches, because there's folks out there that are searching desperately for stupidity. Please share the podcast on your social media feeds. You don't want to be known for being stingy with your stupidity either. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get your stupid fix every time we have new episodes published to your podcast player. And don't forget, download every episode so that way you can listen but for free when you don't have adequate Wi-Fi or cell coverage. And let me suggest, if you are looking for a good podcast app, I always recommend Podcast Addict. It's available at your app store free, or there's a couple of different versions you can pay for. Totally customizable. And I might also add, they've got immediate customer service. Great people, even with the free stuff. By the way, this is just one of 2 feeds that you hear every week. In addition to this bonus midweek feed, we have the weekend feed featuring Pancho Guerrero, my insane Florida nephew, with more stupid stories from Florida and beyond. Pancho will answer your questions if you're seeking to tap his sage wisdom. People ask Pancho about some of life's biggest questions. And you can also play along with Pancho in our weekly round of the Insane Game Show. And don't forget, please interact with us here at the podcast by getting the Telegram Messenger app, and then you can join the Insane Eric Lane Stupid World channel. I get to post all the stories, the links, the actual articles to the stories that I read from every episode. There you can, of course, check them out yourself. I give you evidence of the stupidity with all the links for all the stories, all the pictures, all the videos. You can share the articles with your friends. You can chat about them, make comments, all that kind of good stuff. You can preview this channel and get a link to download Telegram Messenger at t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane. You can get the app available for desktop or mobile versions. They've got platforms that can run on Windows or Linux or Android or even Apple. And don't forget to follow me on social media with the handle Insane Eric Lane on Facebook and Twitter. And you can get all of this stuff on my website at insaneericlane.com. And finally, this week's verbal meme. Look for the opportunities in life. You know, like when nobody's looking and you can finally address that wedgie.
If you think I have written all the stuff that goes into this podcast, you're giving me way too much credit. No, I have to give credit to a talented bank of writers that I rely on for most of this stupidity. I haven't got enough hours of the day to go scoping out all the stupidity that's out there. So I have to give props to Mr. Laugh's Comedy and Ad Large Media, Premier Prep, Wise Brother Media, the Universal Comedy Network, and Pulse of Radio at the United Stations Radio Network. Thanks for sticking it out through my stupid world. And if you're feeling a bit crazy, I hope you'll follow me on Facebook or Twitter at Insane Eric Lane and visit InsaneEricLane.com. And if you're feeling a bit insane and want to make your own podcast, you can do it with Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast ever. The only platform where you can publish to major podcast outlets like Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music with a single tap of a button on your phone. Whether you're capturing your own voice, taking call-ins from listeners, conducting remote interviews with anyone, or broadcasting full-length songs from Apple Music or Spotify. Available today for iOS and Android, and it's 100% free, entirely mobile, and so easy to use that literally anyone can make a podcast, even me. Find out more at anchor.fm.